I'm Allison Ryan, and I'm originally from Alberta, Canada. I was raised by very kind, cheerful parents, but they were not Christians. I came to the U of I in 1979 on a track scholarship, and there was a wonderful Christian girl on the team, and her name was Lisa Payne, now Leidenfrost. She was instrumental in leading me to the Lord, and I started going to church at Community Evangelical Fellowship, held at the time in an auto body garage. I met my husband-to-be, Max Ryan, at a Campus Crusade for Christ picnic out at Eddie Gray's house in Viola. It was love at first sight, I would have to say. I found him very attractive, and he had this long hair. The kind of hair you admire secretly, but of course you could never marry that kind of man. Well, he cut his hair and we fell in love and got married in our junior year of college. He was already a kind, thoughtful Christian at the age of 21. Before you know it, we had 7 children, 4 girls, and 3 boys. We were living in Kalispell, Montana, and homeschooling when Max got a job at Schweitzer Engineering in Pullman. So we moved back to Moscow in 1998 so we could attend Christ Church and put our kids in Logos, a dream come true. We moved into an old farmhouse north of town, and we have been raising children and renovating ever since. When I was asked to talk about how to raise daughters, I, of course, didn't want to do it. For one thing, I couldn't remember anything. Yeah. And I felt unqualified to talk about it. But my daughters and my husband encouraged me to do it and helped me to remember. I thought about my 4 daughters and I realized, well, yes, they all love God. They love our family and each other. They love our church and its people. They loved the Christian education they received. And they are happily married, or about to be, to handsome, wonderful, godly young men. Of course, there were troubles and sin along the journey, and there still are. However, there was repentance and growth, and there still is. It is my husband who deserves most of the credit for doing such a fine job with the girls. He gives them constant attention, affection, encouragement, and has taught them how to be good with money and how to work hard, and he has loved me with great devotion. I just read a book involving submarines in World War I, and I found it so interesting that unlike large surface aircraft on top of the water, the submarine came to reflect the character and personality of its commander. There were cruel boats and chivalrous boats, lazy boats and energetic boats. A certain Captain Schweiger became captain of the U-20, a German submarine found famous for sinking the Lusitania. Among this captain's peers and crew, and even his British enemies, he was known for his kindness and good humor, and for maintaining a cheerful atmosphere aboard his submarine, where conditions were very harsh. She was a jolly boat, the U-20, and a kindly boat, said one of the crew. This fact was attributed wholly to Captain Schweiger. It was known that if you want a good and pleasant boat, you must have a good and pleasant skipper. This captain would rescue dogs from the sinking ships and bring them on board for his men to take care of, and he would have wonderful parties with music and rum right when the men needed it most. Often, he would warn the enemy ships and allow the men to escape before torpedoing and sinking them, or tow the disabled ship to shore with the men aboard. I thought to myself while reading, we mothers are just like those captains. Our homes are submarines. If we want a good and pleasant home, we have to be a good and pleasant skipper. John Abbott, the author of this wonderful book, The Mother at Home, says that the early years are entrusted almost solely to a mother's care, and that maternal influence, more than anything else, forms future character. We have got to be the good example in our homes if we want to successfully raise our daughters for Christ. The most important thing our daughters need is love. How can we show them love? Love is something we have to do or not do. There are many ways that we can and must demonstrate the love of Christ in our daughters. It takes a lot of time and energy and patience, but we need to give our daughters lots of affection and attention. If you have a lot of children, this will be a full-time job. So it will be easier if you stay home most of the time when they're little. It is hard to be a good skipper if your sub... if you are not on your sub and always visiting other people's subs. A trick of the trade that makes it easier to love your little daughters is to slicker them up. First thing in the morning, before or soon after breakfast, I would make sure my daughters were bathed and nicely dressed. It is easier to hug and kiss them if they look and smell good. I would make sure their hair was done up with ribbons and bows. We didn't have a lot of money back then, but I would shop the sales, and with gifts from the grandparents, it was doable to keep them looking nice. Other people will find it easier to like your children too. Lydia said, well, tell them how now I'm the one that slickers you up, Mom. She does my hair and makeup and nails and toenails, everything. Soon she'll be changing my diapers. If you're not giving your daughters loving, positive attention and encouragement, you can bank on it that when they are older, they will look for it elsewhere and find it in some troublesome boy. Another way we can love our daughters is to teach them to be hard workers and good with money. The children had to chip in and help with chores, but work for me, since I can be disorganized in my brain and not good with charts and stars, was to have one or two jobs that a girl would stick with for a whole month. And then they would switch. I found that if I expected too much from them or wanted things too perfect, I would be tempted to get angry. So I had to lower my expectations and standards to the level where I wouldn't be crabby. And also the girls were happier because I, the captain, was happier. Some daughters were naturally tidier. While I found with some, I just had to shut their bedroom doors and let it go. Lowering your standards doesn't mean lowering God's rules. It means lowering your house rules so everyone is not provoked. Sometimes a family might have to lower their devotion standards as well. We are once at a supper table, not in this state, but where the father read the scriptures before we ate. And he read and read and read, and the food was getting cold, and the children were fidgeting, and we were all dying of hunger. The reading made me feel rebellious, and I felt like starting a food fight. And I was 50 years old. So, bring it down. Keep the devotions short at the table. Another good way to teach your daughters to be a hard worker is to have her work for somebody else who will be firm. And they can be the crabby ones and make her do things again until she does them right. It's what the Puritans used to do with their older sons. They sent them to live with and work for another family who would be harder on them. Our girls had the great fortune of working for an older couple on a neighboring farm. And this couple taught them to be thorough and work hard. One time, this neighbor lady, who lives a mile and a half away, called up and said, tell your daughter to get back over here and put away the stepladder. Well, I'm glad to report our messiest daughter now keeps a very tidy house. Yeah. I think when we are raising our kids, it's a very good time in life to be kind of poor. It causes us to make our children work harder. They have to get out there and mow some lawns if they want a new pair of running shoes. We taught all the girls to manage and be careful with their money. I believe this is very important for a young woman, as she might have to manage the money her whole life. She will most likely have to be thrifty with a small budget when newly married or first out on her own. Love your daughter by making it possible for her to get an excellent Christian education, just as good an education as you would for your sons. I homeschooled for years, but after a while I realized I wasn't doing a very good job of it. I started falling asleep while doing flashcards. So we were fortunate to be able to put them in Logos. Ah, there we are. All our girls saved their money and paid for their own college educations. Some had scholarships to help, and all are debt-free with great educations. Lydia, our youngest daughter, graduated from NSA with an associate degree in liberal arts and is now pursuing her bachelor's degree in computer science at the U of I, and she's also a software engineer intern at Schweitzer Engineering. There's lots of us at Schweitzer. Lizzie, who is married to James Engeritsen, finished a bachelor's degree in agriculture and soil science at the U of I, took a class at NSA, and now is working on her master's degree at Wazoo in biophysics, which is being paid for by the company Decagon, whom she works for. She says she would drop all this to stay home if and when children come along. Rachel, the oldest daughter, graduated from NSA and now is married to Brian LeFerrier and has given me two beautiful grandbabies. Rebecca, who designed and sewed both her and her sister's protocol dresses, graduated from the U of I with a bachelor's degree in clothing, textile, and design. We must give Murdy Cole and Shirley Quist, Shirley's out there, I think. Where are you, Shirley? Credit for teaching her how to sew. She is now working as an administrative assistant at Schweitzer, married to Jacob Skog, and is pregnant with her first baby. Part of a good education includes the extracurricular activities that are available to our daughters. Take interest in your daughter's activities and try as often as possible to go to her games and recitals. I've noticed that the parents of girls that are troubled do not often come to watch their games. The girls that are well-loved, their parents are almost at every activity and take great interest. There will be times, of course, when you simply can't be there, but try to go as often as you can, even if you don't find it very interesting. It really means a lot to girls. My parents never came to any of my high school track meets, and I was a star. That was painful. When my husband Max ran track in high school, it was such a comfort to him to see his mother standing at the finish line at every race. What is really important not to do to daughters is to be critical of them, of their bodies, their weight and shape, what and how much they eat, their hair, their clothes, and their character. Mothers can be ruthless. Mothers, as a rule, tend to be harder on their daughters than their sons. My youngest daughter, Lydia, who is getting married to the wonderful Ian Engerbretson in July, was trying on wedding dresses recently, and she asked the sales girl what the most difficult part of her job was. The sales girl said, "It's the mothers of the brides." She said, "The mothers can be so cruel to their daughters. You look fat in that dress. You look horrible." After I heard this, I was hoping I hadn't said anything. Do not say anything to your daughter unless it is positive. Encourage them with positive words. "You look so pretty in that dress. You are so beautiful. I'm so proud of you. You're so smart and you're so kind." It hurts them so badly if you're critical of them. It's easy to fool ourselves and to not really be aware of what we are doing to our daughters. Sometimes they will come to you and ask advice, but even then, be ever so careful with your answer. Keep it all positive. John Abbott in The Mother at Home says, "One great obstacle is the want of self-control on the part of the parents. How can a mother expect to govern her child when she cannot govern herself? Family government must most emphatically begin at home. It must begin in the bosom of the parent. She must learn to control herself, to subdue her own passions. She must set her children an example of meekness and equanimity, or she must reasonably expect that all her efforts to control their passions will be ineffectual." One idea in a common problem area is to make sure your daughters have beautiful, modest clothing. Make an effort to take them shopping and be prepared ahead of time with a few nice items. This was my problem. It wasn't that my daughter wanted to be immodest, but she found she was scrambling on Sunday mornings to find a skirt or dress that wasn't too short because of her long legs. I hadn't made enough of an effort to help her buy the right kind of clothes. Of course, as I was writing this speech, I was much more aware of being critical and what happened recently with the very thing. I often pick Lydia, my youngest daughter, up from Bootsers or from her classes at the U of I. Lydia is a computer science major, and she says there are about 100 boys in her classes, and there's only 2 girls. She said on the first day of class, the professor gave a pep talk about taking showers and using deodorant. On Bootsers days, when she hops into the van, she brings with her the delicious aroma of coffee and pastries. Last week, she hopped into the van after a long day of classes with the boys, and I was overwhelmed with a different smell. So I shouted, "Wow, Lydia, you smell like a boys' locker room." Yes, we are not going to be perfect. And we are going to sin and make mistakes. But it is never too late to go to your daughters and ask their forgiveness. How can we change our bad habits of anger and criticalness towards our daughters? We need to fly to the Holy Spirit for help. Fly to Jesus and to his mercy seat. Jesus says in John 14 that the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and remind you of everything he has said. So pray to God for help and reminders from the Holy Spirit to do the right thing in raising your daughters, and he will help. Yes, I believe we all can be a kind and pleasant mother with a kind and pleasant home. Thanks.